Kevin said, that message you preached bothered me. He said, I need to be baptized. I've asked Kevin many times, are you saved? And he's always been very definite in his answer, yes, I'm saved. Kevin took a long time making up his mind about whether to be baptized. But he made it up all by himself without any pressure from me. So I'm very thankful for that. But what's going to happen to Kevin is the same thing that happened to all of us. And there are no exceptions. Our life down here is one in which we either find Christ or we don't find him. We either get saved or we stay lost after we pass the age of accountability. Once we get saved, our soul is eternally sealed and we're forever bound for heaven. And some people just stop at that point and they say, well, now that's settled and that's over with, and praise God, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But really, salvation is a permanent thing that happens that God gives us, but it's the beginning of a journey. And you determine how many steps you're going to take on that journey and how far you're going to go on that journey. And you determine if what's at the end of that journey is worth living for. So Kevin's going to begin a journey. He's already begun it when he was saved. This morning he's going into phase two of that journey. He's going to be scripturally baptized. Kevin's going to have all kinds of problems with life. You can't grow up in this society and not have problems. When I was a boy, you had to have problems too, but not like Kevin's going to face. He's going to have to make some decisions that his mother and father can't make for him. He's reaching young adulthood. He's going to have to decide whether he's going to be faithful to God after he's baptized in his church, and he's going to have to decide whether he's going to depart and go out and find his own life. He's going to have to make a lot of decisions. He's just started the journey. Now he's going into the journey, part of it, where he gets baptized. He's going to have to decide, do I want to marry the girl that God wants me to marry? Am I really interested in what God wants for my life? Am I going to be faithful when my parents can't make me come to church anymore? Am I going to serve God the way I should? And nobody but Kevin can make those decisions. But that's not anything new, is it, Betty? We have to make those decisions every day of our lives. You've had to make it, Gloria. You've had to make it, Chili. You've had to make it, Johnny. You've had to make it, Norma. It's a journey. How far he continues on that journey is strictly up to Kevin. I'm going to be praying for him. I'm going to be hoping the best for him. We all are. But in the end, our journey began with Christ. And how far we've gone and how far we're willing to go depends on us. God's right there to help us every step of the way. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. But I won't lie to you. It's a tough journey. You know, I love Brett's illustration. I guess I'll never tire of it. We've been talking about gifts. Brent put that little box up there on the screen, or when Brent started talking about a gift, it brought a lot of things home to me. Salvation is a gift of God. For those of you listening on the tape, I've got a beautiful box all packaged up with a big bow on the top. And above it, I've said, salvation, a gift of God. It's a gift. And Brian made the point, I call him Brian, Brent, made the point that a lot of people don't look inside the box. But the gift of salvation is of love. Now the labor is of love. Suppose Kevin had successfully fought off the Holy Spirit, and even though the message bothered him, he had said later, I'll do it later, Lord. How much would he have loved God? Kevin took a long time making his decision. And Kevin down in his heart knows he doesn't love God like he should. We all know that. Because none of us love God like we should. And if we ever get to the point where we think that we love him just the right amount, we're making a mistake. But Kevin's labor, he's going to have another choice to make. The gift is of love, the labor is of love. Kevin's going to have to learn to do what he does for the Lord, and not to let what other people think about him, what they say about him, not let the peer group pressure in his life cause him to do what others want him to do rather than what God wants him to do. His labor is going to need to be of love. But it's not just Kevin. Kenneth Eubanks needs to do the same. So does Charlie Holloman. They're a couple of San Diego Marines, Gomer Pyle types. But they need, their labor needs to be of love. You have to learn to do what you do for the Lord. Even after you're saved, your flesh still wants the attention of men. And at Kevin's age, the peer group pressure he's going to have from those around him is going to be terrific. They're going to tempt him constantly to go and do things that are wrong. And Kevin may give in. But he'll come back and ask God to forgive him, to pick himself up by the power of God and go on? Or will he? And how long will he go on? Nobody but Kevin can make that decision. Kenneth has to make those decisions every day. So does Johnny Blackford. So does Doc Marshall. So does Alan Kennedy. We all have to make those decisions. So you have to decide, are you going to serve God and labor for God in love, or are you going to serve mankind and let what they think of you matter more than what God thinks of you? His reward is of love. The gift is of love. The labor is of love. The reward is of love. And it all begins with a gift of salvation. And at the end of that, if people will look in the box and see what's in there, there's a tremendous reward waiting. This is a journey of indwelling love that begins at salvation and ends at physical death. Kevin's going to have to do what you and I are doing. He's going to have to decide whether all this stuff in the box is worth it. Is this stuff in the box going to be worth to Kevin enough for him to look at what's at the end of his journey and say, that means more to me than what men think of me? It means more to me than giving into the pleasures of the flesh. It means more to me what God has waiting at the end. Kevin's young. All these things about a heavenly city and all those things, they don't hit him the same way they hit an old man like me. But some of you are as old as I am, and I wonder if they've ever really hit you. This journey begins with salvation. The gift is of love. The labor is of love. The reward is of love. So the labor is of love. Now you see the same gift box, but now you see what's inside it. You see a tree in there that has all the different attributes of Christ. Things you're supposed to add to your faith. Virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. To temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. That's the personality and attributes of Jesus Christ found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Also on this same tree you see the gift of the Spirit. You see all the different attributes that the Spirit's willing to give you. It's called spiritual growth. So you have to ask yourself when you look in the box, is what I have to go through to grow spiritually and fighting off the wiles of the devil by the power of God, not paying attention to what others think of me, is that worth what I'll have to go through in order to live in the millennial temple and to live in the heavenly city, which you also see in the box? Kevin's got to make up his decision. He'll make it one way or the other. At his age, quite frankly, most don't think those things at the end of the journey are very important. Am I mad at Kevin? Am I putting him down? God forbid. When I was Kevin's age, that was the furthest thing from my mind. But in Timothy's mind, these things were important. So it's possible for a young man to begin to look at life and to say, I want to live my life for God. But it's not just possible for Kevin. It's also possible for Ryan. It's also possible for Russell and for Michael and for Barry. It's very possible. But they're going to have to make their choices and decisions. And you're going to have lots of prayers going for you because you've got parents that love you. You've got people here in the church care about you. But what a journey you've got ahead of you. It's a hard journey. So Russell, when you go down there to Houston, your poor mom's going to be sitting up here on tethers, scared to death of which way you're going to go. But don't make your decisions based on what she thinks of you. Make your decisions based on what God thinks of you. And live for Christ because he's who he is, and he's the one that saved you. I remember when you got saved, Russell, you were one of the happiest fellows on the earth. You just couldn't wait to tell anybody. Of course, it wasn't very long until you grew up a little more and you didn't tell too many people about it. But Russell, that's just normal. Because you got peer group pressure around you all the time. Well, you're growing up. It's a journey of love. It's a journey of indwelling love that begins at salvation and ends at physical death. You were born, and you're going to die. Now the question is, what do you intend to do in between? Kevin, I hope I'm not embarrassing you. I'm just trying to be helpful to you. What I'm saying about you, Kevin, is true of all of us. It's true of Cooney sitting right next to you. It's true of Anna Mae Sills in front of you. It's true of these two quails sitting in front of you. Anna Mae's quails. It's true of Stacy. It's true of Amy. We've all been saved. We've begun a journey. We've got a lot of hard decisions to make. You're going to have to make the same decisions we're making. We haven't always made the right decisions, but we've always had the same God with us. Let's talk about the box itself. Let's talk about salvation, the gift of God. For those of you listening on the tape, here's this same beautiful box all wrapped up. You can't see inside it with a bow on top. And that's God's gift of salvation. Many people receive that, but they never do look inside. But let's just talk about when you receive it. Let's not even think about looking inside. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. And the gift is of love. It's of God's love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, Kevin, Anna Mae, Kenneth, Donna, Norma, that's already happened in our lives. We've already come to realize that that man hanging on that cross, wounded and suffering and bleeding and dying, represented a gift of love that we can never comprehend or fully understand, but can only fall down on our knees in our heart and thank God for. That once he came into our lives and into our hearts, when we repented of our sins and put our faith in him, that he gave us everlasting life and we will never perish. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The gift is of love. It's a free gift. It's a salvation gift. He closes the third chapter of John with a very appropriate verse. Of course, anything that God writes is appropriate. Verse 36, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath is a present indicative active. It means it is a permanent possession that will never, never, never stop because it's everlasting. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. They'll never understand the purpose of life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, Kevin, you saw what life was about some time ago. I did too, Kevin, when I was 12 years old. But like you, I waited a long time, a lot longer than you did. It was 11 years after I was saved before I did what I knew God wanted me to do for a long time. I could see life. I could see the purpose of it. I could see what God wanted me to do because I was saved. I didn't have the wrath of God abiding on me. But I could see the purpose of life was for me to make a committal of my life to God. And I could see I had all sorts of serious problems in doing it because my flesh has never wanted to make a committal to God. My flesh can't stand the will of God. My flesh doesn't want to serve God. And my flesh wants to have a good time down here and enjoy all the gusto he can the first time around. My flesh and I are two entirely different personalities. It's a battle. It's a struggle. That's one of the nice things about the Bible. It not only tells me what I'm like, it tells me what you're like. And in knowing what I'm like and in knowing what you're like, it makes it a whole lot easier after prayer and supplication to God to know what needs to be preached to God's people. I don't have the wrath of God abiding on me, but I was 11 years before I was baptized. Finally, I was baptized. What happens after baptism? The labor is of love. Kevin's seen life for a long time. He knew what eternal life was. He knew who Christ was. He knew he was going to heaven. But the question was, am I going to do it God's way, service, or am I going to do it my way? Well, he's made the decision to do it God's way, but he's got a long, rough road ahead of him. But fortunately, he's got the power of Almighty God, who has all power in heaven and earth, to guide him. And so do each one of us. The problem is not whether or not the power is there. The problem is, do we want to avail ourselves of it? So the labor is of love. What does God really want in the church? I mean, is he really interested in all this hoopla that churches put out? Does he really think that unless the church is growing by leaps and bounds and thousands are being saved in the community and receiving the gift of salvation, does he really believe that's what a church is all about? Does he think that's the main purpose of a church down here? No. There's a lot more to a church than that. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. After you're saved, the labor has to be of love. Very difficult to do what you do because you love God, because most of the time, if you do what God wants you to do because you love him, men and women aren't going to like what you do at all, and you're going to take severe criticism for it. God's been very gracious to me here. Over the years, as the Word of God has been preached, it's had its effect on your heart. Do you know there are very few preachers that could do what I did in Sunday school lesson? Do you know that the people that get these tapes when they're out there and they hear and they say, you mean your people put up with that? You wouldn't have put up with it when I first came here, because you were as carnal and much babes in Christ as I was. But over a period of time, something's happened here. God's words had its effect on your life. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3, the laborers of love. Writing to the church at Thessalonica, we give thanks to God always for all of you making mention of you in our prayers. I want you to notice what God's Spirit said through Paul was important in the church. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Works are of faith. Faith is not of works. Works are of faith. If the works you're performing don't come out of your faith in Christ, they're vain, worthless pieces of trash by your flesh. If your faith in Christ, Jesus living inside you, is what motivates you to do the works, then it's for the honor and glory of God, and his Son gets the credit. Otherwise, it's of your flesh and labor of love. So, the gift is of love, the labor is of love. remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Labor comes out of love. Love does not come out of labor. Right here this morning, all over this town, there are people meeting in a lot of church buildings. A lot of them are there out of a force of habit. A lot of them are there because it's expected. A lot of them are there because their friends are there and they don't want them calling them on the phone and asking them why they weren't there. A lot of them are laboring for God for the wrong reason. But the labor is of love. Love is not of labor. You can work for God supposedly and be doing it for the wrong reason. And it doesn't generate any love. But if you love God, you'll labor for Him. You'll come to church. These people that ask me, they say, Brother Michael Murray, how can you preach so straight to those people that are there? How do they put up with it? I have a very simple answer. Labor of love. Their labor comes out of love. Otherwise, I'd have been run off a long time ago. The next thing that Paul describes is patience of hope. The word patience is hypomene. It means endurance of hope. Endurance comes out of hope. Hope does not come out of endurance. Endurance comes out of hope. If Kenneth didn't hope for this city, if Kenneth didn't hope that he could rule and reign with Christ in the millennial reign, if Kenneth didn't hope for these things, if he didn't want these things, if they weren't real to him, Kenneth wouldn't endure. He'd drop out of the faith. So whenever you stop losing your interest in the promises of God, which are the hope of the future, then you start actually dropping out of church. If these things never become real to you, if you don't want to live in the temple of the millennial reign, if you don't want to live in the heavenly city, then you're not going to endure. Patience, hypomene, endurance of hope. Endurance comes out of hope. Hope does not come out of endurance. There's a big difference in our Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, Kevin, I still expect you, and I'm sorry, but I'm a realist, I still expect you to sin pretty regularly, because I sin pretty regularly in my thoughts and all the things that I think. And I still expect you'll get in trouble every once in a while, and they may have to go down to the principal's office, and your carnal nature will be dealt with. But that's true with all of us. That's true with all of us. But, Kevin, I'm hoping and praying for you what I'm hoping and praying for myself and everyone else here, that you're going to keep asking God to forgive you, keep picking yourself up, and keep working for God. And I hope, Kevin, when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, and when Sister George comes before the judgment seat of Christ, and all of you come there, and myself included, that God will look down at us and remember our work of faith and our labor of love and the patience of hope in the sight of God and our Father. Ephesians 2:22 tells you where you're supposed to be working. It tells you where your heart's supposed to be. It tells you where your life's supposed to be. The labor is of love. So the question is, if it's of love, are you going to labor where God wants you to labor? Are you going to labor on your own? Are you going to have some independent idea of where you should labor? Are you going to get your own personal opinion of what God accepts as labor and where He accepts it? Are you going to accept what the Bible says? The reason we're baptizing Kevin this morning is because Kevin is going to be fellowshipped into the local church after he's baptized, and Kevin is going to become a part of a body where Christ is designated you should be in order to please God. This is where your labor of love and endurance of hope should be. Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. When they believed what Peter had preached in Acts 2:41, then they were added to the church, and they were fellowshipped into it in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So what is the church? Ephesians 1:23, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. If you want the fullness that God's Spirit has to offer you, and you want to actually do a work of faith, a labor of love, and an endurance of hope, then you need to be where God's Spirit places you. God's Spirit can place you in a local church, and God's Spirit tries to draw you to it. But all my persuasive messages and all my persuasive sermons and all my persuasive prayers and all the things I do in the hope that you'll see the light and react to God's Spirit won't do one single solitary thing unless you're willing to do what God wants. So it has to be a labor of love. Whether you realize it or not, all of you here are on a journey, and so am I. And the journey is the labor of love after we're saved and endurance of hope. Notice what he says. Do you want to give glory to God? Do you want to do it God's way? Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's where God gets glory. You may think you can give God glory in your own way, in other ways, but you can't give God the kind of glory God wants unless you're in submission to His will, and unless you're in one of the Lord's churches serving. You may just be just as saved can be, but you're out of the will of God. His reward is of love. So the gift is of love, the labor is of love, and the reward is of love. If someone were to ask me, what is the most difficult thing that you ever had to do as a pastor, as a preacher, as a proclaimer of God's Word, you're looking at it right there. Colossians 3, 23, 24. Now, I can't overcome the flesh. I fight against it all the time. But it's a daily battle. But here's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. Colossians 3, 23, 24. I assume because it's hard for me, it's hard for you. But some people never seem to think about this. So it's not hard or easy for them one way or the other. They never think about it. And whatsoever you do, that's pretty inclusive. Do it heartily. That's ekpsyche, heartily. It means from the soul. Your soul was saved and sealed by the gift of love. Now if you're willing to labor, the labor is of love. Now let's see who He's going to reward for their labor of love. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. From the soul. That saved soul. As to the Lord and not unto man. That was the most difficult thing I had to face as a pastor. Naturally, when God called me into this, I was about as carnal as lye soap. I'm not claiming to be a whole lot better now, but I am claiming to understand a whole lot more than I did about it. A lot of the early things I did in this church, and don't look down on me, God's long since forgiven me, and all preachers go through this transition. They're very concerned about what people think of them. They spend a lot of their time being concerned about, does this church member like me? Does this church member not like me? Am I pleasing the people here? Do they think I'm a good preacher? Are they satisfied with my messages? Are they happy with me as a pastor? And so it's a tremendous struggle. And you have to be very, and quite frankly, I gave in to it. Oh, it wasn't anybody's fault that was a member here. I was just more interested in what you thought of me and whether I would be accepted. I also was very concerned about whether I was going to be accepted by the rest of the preachers. Because that's very important to a man. But that's not doing it for God. That's doing it for man. He says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. You know why this is important? If when you come down here to clean this church, you're doing it for the Lord, you're not going to grumble and complain and gripe and kick snuff and dust because other people aren't doing it. Because if you're doing it for the Lord, you shouldn't be overly concerned about what they do and why they're not doing it. If you come down here and you give to this church, and you give because you're doing it from a saved soul and you love the Lord, and you're doing it for that reason, then you're not going to get mad and cut your offering because I say or preach something you don't like. You're not going to get irritated and stop giving because something happened that hurt your little feelings on your shirt sleeve. That's learning to do what you do for the Lord. People that give to the Lord money, that donate their time and services to the Lord, if they're doing it, they're just doing it because they love God. I think Doc mowed that lawn out there because he loved God. I believe a lot of people in this church do a lot of things because they love God. And that's the kind of a church that's a joy to pastor. It's the kind of a church that the indwelling Spirit of Christ within you rejoices when He sees people doing it. So when you do something for the Lord, and Doc's done it as long as he can. He can't do it anymore. He's just not physically able. So now Danny's doing it. Well, Danny, I'll just be honest with you. If you're doing it for the Lord, you'll do a good job and you'll keep doing it. If you're not doing it for the Lord, then you'll eventually quit. It's that plain and it's that simple. Now, if you can do it as long as Doc did and be that old, that'll be a minor miracle. But I'm counting on you. Think you can make it? Well, give it a shot. That's all God ever asks. That's doing what you do out of love. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto me. Why? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You're not going to get any accolades or praise on this much, Danny. I won't mention it too often. And if you miss a little section out there and don't, somebody will mention it to you. Just don't get your feelings hurt. If somebody doesn't like the way you mow it, just let it go in one ear and out the other. Of course, in the case of Paul Lee, he can let it go in one ear and out the other, and there's no problem because there's nothing in between. But just let it go in and out, one ear or the other. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Look at it this way, Danny. Jesus is the one that's going to give you a reward. If you did it because you wanted me to think you were a great young man, don't expect anything at the judgment seat of Christ. If you did it because you love the Lord, you can expect something because you did it for Him. That's not just true with mowing lawns. That's true with everything. A lot of people never learn that. They never had any joy in serving God. The reward is of love. Well, here's the reward in that box. It's the kingdom of God. An invitation calling you to a glorious kingdom wedding. Your faithfulness really determines on whether you're laboring out of love. And if you believe that God's reward is of love. Notice, I have these first two, the gift of love and the labor of love. But this is His reward of love. It's God's reward. And guess why He gives it? Because He loves us. Look, He died for us to keep us out of hell. That's enough love for me to last forever. But He not only has that kind of love, but He's going to share His inheritance with us. In that city you're looking at in that box is 3/5 the size of the United States. And that city is going to be where the bride of Christ abides. It's going to be where the faithful abide. It's 3/5 the size of the United States. It's the final kingdom age. It's the kingdom of God. Notice. And behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:20. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. If you worked for the Lord and you did what you did for the Lord and you did it lawfully according to His word in the way He defines what He wants you to do and the way it should be done lawfully, then here's what you can expect. Blessed are they that do His commandments, Revelation 22:14, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they, Makarios, happy, ecstatically happy, are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So I began a journey some 54 years ago. I was baptized 11 years later. Kevin began a journey a few years ago. Now he's being baptized. He's continuing on his journey. What's the church's job down here? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now listen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. Amen. Well, Kevin's down here and he's going to be taught. I'm the preacher and I'm going to be taught. The rest of you are going to be taught. Question is, how much do the promises of God mean to you? And it's going to determine whether or not you continue faithful in God's church. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Yes, salvation is an instantaneous experience. It occurs at the point of salvation. It lasts forever. But you've still got a journey in the flesh. And what I preached this morning wasn't just for Kevin. It was for all of us. Because we've all had to make the same journey, are going to make the same journey, and one day we're going to die, and this journey down here will be complete. So, have you accepted the gift of love? Have you ever really come forward, repenting of what you are, a sinner, and trusting in Jesus Christ to save you? Have you accepted the gift of love? Well, if you have, are you laboring in the spirit of love? Are you laboring in the place that God wants you to labor? Are you doing what you're doing for the Lord? Are you laboring where He abides? In Ephesians 2:22, Paul tells us where He abides. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. If your answer to these questions are yes, yes, and yes, then praise God and understand that the only reason the answer is yes is because of the Spirit of God. But if your answer to some of these questions is no, think about it. Think about it. Just think about it. You're the only one who can take action. You're the only one who decides how far the journey goes. You're the only one that decides how much of your life you want to commit. But when this great heavenly city arrives, I can only be a man called of God to warn you. You better be careful, because you may live outside that city. Do you have joy in anticipation of His soon coming reward of love? I mean, are you actually looking forward for the time when you're going to live in this city? Salvation is a permanent thing that you receive at the instant it occurs when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, having repented of your sins. But salvation is an invitation to a glorious kingdom wedding. Now that you're saved, how far do you want to go on this journey? How much of your life do you want to give to the Lord? How much of a commitment do you want to make? No one can make that decision but you. Well, Kevin's made his. It's easy when you're Kevin's age to make the decision. It's difficult the older you go. And every time the decision comes up and God's Holy Spirit touches your heart and wants you to make that decision, every time you turn it down, it makes it just a little bit harder the next time. Well, I've shown you God's Word this morning. I've told you the truth. I've shown you that the labor is of love. I've shown you that salvation is of love, and His reward is of love. And I've shown you a journey. Have you ever started the journey? Have you ever come trusting Jesus? If you've done that, are you willing to be baptized and become a part of the place where He wants you to labor? And is His second coming something you dread or something you look forward to? Do you have joy and anticipation of His coming? Or is your life just as mixed up and confused as it was when you were saved? God's the only one who can help you. I can't. I'm just a mouthpiece. And I hope this morning, if God's dealing with your spirit, I hope you'll come. As Johnny and Kay come, I've shown you God's word. Rest is between you and His spirit. After this invitation, we're going to have a baptismal service. But I've given you plenty of time. We have 12 minutes left. I'm going to get you out of here pretty close to time. We got time for an invitation. And if you need to come, don't just sit there like a bump on a log. Come on. 378.